Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. This is the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. I'm Bruce Johnson, of course, as always, and absolutely joined by my brother Jacob Johnson.
Hello, everybody.
And we are here on this wonderful Wednesday. Welcome to Wednesday, everyone, to talk about current events from a biblical perspective, which is what we do because that's been us for the last almost coming up on 3 years. By the way, this is a good time to mention we're coming up on episode 300 very shortly, and we have an awesome giveaway. Our director of Serrated Edge, who is our social media manager, Aaron Jensen, just released on all our social media pages the criteria for how you can get yourself some free stuff, free merch, some really cool merch, I should add.
I was just expecting a WWE sort of announcement for Aaron Jensen there, and like, you know, he's coming out into the ring and it's like, Aaron Jensen, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
But I had that going on in my mind.
Yes. Well, I think that's exactly the picture he wants. And that's, if he were here, he would be giving himself that entrance. So
I'm all for that.
Yes. So that's coming out. You can do that now. Just go to any of our social media pages, Gab, Facebook, all of them, and X and all the different places, and you'll find the very first post pinned to the top talks about how you can get yourself some free merch to celebrate episode 300, which we're rapidly approaching. Additionally, we recorded a special episode with Mr. Adam Terrell himself. We've been going through his book Public Stoning, God's Design for a Nation Without Prisons. We wrapped that book up. We've been going through it for about a month now, and we interviewed him last night. Monday night, rather. It was last night at the time we were recording this. That is going to go live on Friday. You don't want to miss that episode. Huge, huge episode. We were so excited to have him on the show, and there's so much that we talked about. And by the end of that episode, we were just completely out of time. We got to the end, and we're like, there's so much more we want to talk about. And we actually spent like almost an hour afterwards discussing things with him. So it was such a good discussion. So you don't want to miss that episode coming out on Friday. But today is current events.
We should have,
from a biblical perspective.
Sorry, we should have recorded that last hour of conversation and posted it as like an overtime sort of thing. But
yeah, one of these days we'll have special membership content or something. Today, in case you missed it, some crazy stuff, of course, happened, because that seems to be the way things go these days. You can't just have a regular week. What? Regular week? What is that? Insane stuff pops up on people's phones and news apps all the time, and this week was no exception. This week, there were protests, and there were stupid chantings, and there were all sorts of weird, weird things happening on largely college campuses. And so we, of course, are going to address those and discuss it, especially since it hits a little close to home for me, not directly, but just because one of the people actively engaged in one of these protests is connected to some of the people that are here in Moscow, Idaho. So we've got a lot to talk about there. And then we want to end with a discussion around when or if, it really should, Christians give up nations to be judged. Should Christians give nations up to be judged? Should we be okay with that? What is our responsibility before God and to our nation? How do we act when it comes to giving up our nation and not standing for our nation 100% when it is standing against the Lord? And full disclosure, Jacob came up with this awesome topic, so can't wait to chat about it. But before we do all that, we have to get into our current events. Well, no, we have to get into our verse of the week before we get into our current events. And our verse of the week this week is Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 2. This passage says, quote, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And again, that's Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 2. Jacob will be discussing this on Friday. He had a really good breakdown since we recorded this a couple days ago. Look forward to that. It was really good. Very well fleshed out. I want to take more of a simplistic approach to it, just because we're short on time. And also just because I think it sometimes warrants literally just taking the verse at face value, because there's so much at that level to examine as well. But the concept of a nation coming into covenant with God is such a foreign concept to us in modern day evangelifish America, especially in a society so overrun by dispensational Baptists, which are largely people who do not understand the concept of a covenant, particularly covenants designed by God, shown throughout all of Scripture. Literally, what we call the New Testament, the Old Testament means covenant, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. Hebrews, it smacks you over the head with it over and over and over again. We are in a new covenant built on promises that are better, that are solid. Galatians, every book of the Bible makes some reference to God's promises, God's covenant. So clearly this is important. But we've lost this idea that a nation can enter into covenant with God. Founding fathers didn't, which is how we got something like America, where they said, no, we're going to confess Christ. No, we're going to structure a nation according to the law of God. Unfortunately, that doesn't work so well if the people aren't behind that concept. And today we are not even in the church, which is horrifying to see. But once we finally, now we're working on getting back to that. Lots and lots and lots of people, especially through COVID. God used COVID to teach people incredible things. One of the things, especially that it taught us, is that tyranny is right outside our door. Even here, even in free America, that does something to a person when they recognize that at any minute they could be arrested. They could be brought up on charges for doing nothing, for living their lives as normal human beings. That does something to a people. And they finally start to realize, oh, I'm not God. And when a people realize they're not God, they're not fully in control, and they need to worship and serve the God who is, it changes how they look at everything, and that includes cultures. And so here, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the people, individuals? No, above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you as a nation, right? If you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And thankfully, by the grace of God, we are getting people today finally waking up, people who are finally coming to the realization that a nation needs to be in covenant with God and not with Satan. That a nation is either under God's judgment or it is serving him faithfully. That a nation will either be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel, or they will be wise and they will be warned and they will kiss the sun. Those are their two alternatives. Those are the only options they have to them. And the church needs to start preaching that once again, like it used to. And only then will we not get what we are literally just about to talk about. There it is. So, that being said, let's move into our current events today. Jake, what happened on college campuses seemingly across the U.S. this last week?
I do believe so. I know there are a few instances of this specifically happening. And I don't have all of the locations. When I was doing a lot of this research, I was more looking at just the broad overall topic, and I should have brought up specific instances. The only one that I do know the name of the college that's going on is in University of Columbia. So that's the only one I can tell you, but I know this is happening across, you're right, Bruce, this is happening across the U.S. So like Bruce said, there are breakouts of protests going all over the United States, and this is, we're coming to this, I guess, a little bit late. But this has been going on for a while now, and this is in relation to the Hamas-Israel debacle, if you will, war. But these protests started when when Hamas invaded Israel. And it's always been quite odd looking at it, especially when these people are saying, we want to, you know, we stand with Hamas, which is like, do you not know what Hamas is doing? Mm. Hamas went in and did awful things in Israel.
Yeah.
So why are you standing with Hamas? No logic. There's no logic. Just we just have to know this. There's no logic. But the reason Bruce and I are kind of talking about this now, especially, first of all, because it sort of relates to Moscow. This is kind of why I brought it up. It does relate to Moscow, Idaho, a little bit. But also, it's getting worse. We start seeing more videos coming out. We start seeing more things happening. And this is looking more violent and more dangerous. And so I figured this would be the perfect time to talk about this and kind of warn everybody that, hey, this is going on. First of all, these people are chanting two specific phrases. And this is not always what they chant, but these are some of the more known and more well known, if you will. And that is "Free Palestine," and then also the phrase "From the river to the sea." Right. So if you couple these together, it's "Free Palestine from the river to the sea." So. What does this mean? What are they talking about? They're talking about Palestine, which Hamas is in Palestine, right? They're saying that Israel is oppressing Palestine. Which, again, what happened that started all of this? Right. Hamas went in and invaded Israel. Is that okay? Yes.
That sounds Hamas like Israel was oppressing Hamas.
Right.
That's just a mask for aggression is when you're attacked, you know, really, because the people who are attacked are the ones who are the aggressors. That's how victims. Logic works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
When in all actuality, right, I loved the Babylon Bee did a very, very funny, funny thing. They were doing, I forget exactly what it was. But it was talking about, it was like an interview with one of the Hamas, Hamas people. They were doing the satire thing, one of the Hamas, terrorists. And it was like, the interviewer was like, so you guys are being oppressed and you want Israel to give you freedom. And the guy's like, if by freedom, you mean we want to go in there and kill everybody. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, that's what Hamas wants. Hamas,
yeah,
in Palestine, more like, and I'll say specifically Hamas, because we know that's the view of Hamas. I'm not entirely sure of the view of Palestine itself, but Hamas specifically wants to destroy Israel. They want Israel gone. From the river to the sea, they want Israel to be theirs. So what is this? Anyways, we'll keep moving on. These people, I talked about what kind of this lie that's being told, and then they're believing it, and now they're protesting it, becoming activists in this. But they're not only activists for freeing Hamas. They are not Hamas, but freeing Palestine. They're activists for, not even activists, they're making this their religion. These people, you can see multiple videos of these people worshiping Allah and worshiping these pagan gods.
Which is how you know it's gone from the level of just regular politics to now straight up idolatry, right? Like you've gone from something that was a political squabble or a war or and it's like, yeah, but now they've raised it to the level of worship. Now they understand suddenly, out of nowhere, seemingly, they grasp the concept of just war and the concept of spiritual forces being at work, right? Things that are higher than them, working themselves out in the world. Suddenly it begins to make sense for a terrorist organization. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It is absolutely crazy. However, some good news on this, and we don't often say that, even though we're a post-millennial show. There has been.
Maybe we should start doing a good news segment one of these.
Yeah. but there has been pushback from Christians and Republicans. The Republicans one, it makes sense because, you know, the Democrats are the ones pushing these protests. So, of course, the Republicans would say, oh, then we hate the protests. So that one makes sense. The Christians is sort of surprising, seeing as how we have a culture that subdues Christians so much. But in comes our two Christian protagonists coming in to not destroy this whole thing, but come in and make headlines, right? These two people, these two Christians, I'm pretty sure this other guy is Christian. I'm 90%. Yeah. But Rory Wilson, the grandson of Doug Wilson, is going to Columbia University, as I mentioned before, was one of the colleges with a large amount of protests going on. And Charles Beck. Now, these two kids are seen in a video. I wish we could bring that video up. I should have set that up so we could actually show this video. But for the sake of time, we do not have the time to do that. But you can see in a video where both of these two are basically holding back this large crowd of rioters. And I'm going to say rioters here, not protesters, because what they are trying to do is they are trying to basically infiltrate one of the campus buildings and break down the doors, get in, and I don't exactly know their intentions for when they get inside, but I know their intention was to break in. These two kids went and stopped them. Not stopped them fully, but they obviously it's just two against
stood whole in the gap.
Multitude of other people. Yeah. But basically their intention was to stand there and protect these doors from being smashed down. Yeah, exactly. Until the first of all the campus security got there, but second of all that the police would get there. No such help would arrive, by the way. Spoiler alert. It was kind of in vain, and that's why it did not. They were not successful in completely pushing them back and keeping them from getting inside. I do believe they were able to get inside eventually. The rioters, but they made an interesting stand, and it made headlines. It did definitely make headlines. So very interesting story of that happening, especially when it's Roy Wilson, Doug Wilson's grandson, making those types of headlines and being on Fox News, being on even when his grandfather had just been on Tucker Carlson and in big news. So things are happening. So I feel like I say this every single episode. Moving on from that topic, I feel like I say this every episode, but it wouldn't be modern politics without Trump and his cult jumping into the limelight.
Why?
I say this specifically because it does feel like anytime there was a big, big outrage, big thing, Trump has to jump in front of it and say, oh, hey, cameras, remember me? I'm here. Listen, look at me. I want votes. So it's very funny. I understand. He's a political candidate. He wants to get out there. He wants to make his name heard. He wants people to understand his opinion on stuff so that they can vote for him for president. I just hate that it's Trump.
There is a point, too, at which it becomes blatant narcissism. And you're just like, dude,
yeah,
come on. And his particular style of doing it is like,
yeah,
this is not just
got that politics. Trump flair.
Yeah. Flair is one way of saying it.
So this specific instance wasn't necessarily Trump. Okay. I will give you that. This was his cult, basically. They were trying to quell these protesters, not in the University of Columbia, in a different college campus, but they were somehow able to drown out the noise of these other protesters by them screaming Trump. Again, it's... I would have rather something else, but interesting that you're making a stand. I am glad that we have finally grown a little bit of a backbone.
If we were a Christian nation, they would have drawn them out by psalm singing or any other sort of actually constructive, God-fearing methodology.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you can hope and dream, but this... Hopefully that hope and dream is actually, you believe that that's actually going to happen. But, and it's not just a dream that you think is going to crash down, because it will happen. We are good post-millennials on this show. But something I would like to state and add to this is the fact that it doesn't seem like this is just like, oh, you know, these students want... You know, they want to get out there, they're activists, and they want to protest for this because they believe in the cause. This is very well organized. And not just well organized in the fact that, oh, you know, within each campus it's well organized. No, each one of these campuses has a eerily similar organization style to each other. And not just to each other, but to a similar riot that went on in 2020, called the Summer of Love.
I've never heard of it. I don't know what you're alluding to.
Yeah, it's quite unwell known. Only a few cities were destroyed in that, similar to a terrorist attack, one might say. But, so...
Now that just sounds like a conspiracy theory, Jake. We don't do that on this show.
I know. No, I gotta stop doing that. I gotta stop doing that. But isn't it odd? If you go and look and see video clips of these sorts of setups that they have in these campuses, you start to ask, why do they all have the same looking tent? Why is it all the same brand? Why does it all look like the exact same tent? Throughout multiple different colleges. Conspiracy theory that might have legs to it? It's an interesting thing, which still added to this is like, okay, even if it is planned, it's scary that this is planned. It's like, oh no, you know, there's people going in and they're trying to stir this up. But at the end of the day, these protests, even if they weren't planned, are still bad enough. It's still rioting. It's still being to the state of them going in and breaking down doors. Maybe you can make the claim that without this sort of planning, they wouldn't be breaking down doors because they were too afraid to do that. They were like, it would be fragmented.
Well, I think this is a direct tie-in to Psalm 2, right? Why do they hear the nations vainly rage? Why do they plot a vain thing? This is, and what is it that they're plotting to do? They're plotting to let us burst the bonds of God apart. Let us not be chained by God's law, by God's, sure, we can use the term natural law. I won't use it in the same way that Thomists do, because I'm not a Thomist. But there's a fabric of reality that God has built, and sinful man objectively wants to destroy that. God created man and woman for each other, and sinful man wants to say, nope, we're going to destroy literally every single facet of that we can because we're evil, right?
Yeah.
That is a natural law that God created in creation, way, which we learn by reading Revelation, you know, natural revelation, whatever. We'll get into that later. those are the bonds. God's perfect law found in the book of Deuteronomy, Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, etc., in addition to the way he just created the world to work, the order of creation. All of that is what they're trying to destroy, and they're plotting in vain, right? But still plotting. Mm-hmm. Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed to destroy those bonds because they don't want to be preserved. They want to destroy themselves because that's what evil does. Evil makes no sense. Evil is nonsensical. Sin is nonsensical. That's the point. Them wanting to destroy themselves in this manner is nonsensical, and that's the point.
Yeah.
Advocating for a terrorist organization that wants to literally kill them, right? No doubt most of these people were white people who were born of other white people in America who, you know, have their own ideas and probably were fine with, or more than fine with, gay people and LGBTQ agenda and all that. Those are the people that the people they're trying to support want to kill. Like, they're supporting a terrorist organization that wants to kill them. Anyways.
To continue on and to go into our more discussion topic, I know we've only got about 4 to 5 minutes here. I wanted to start out with a quote. To set up the topic, Bruce, I know you have the title. It was said at the beginning of the episode, but can we say that again just so people understand the topic?
Should Christians give nations up to be judged?
I want to start out with this quote that I found in my research of this current events topic, which I thought tied in great with this topic and with what's going on. But this is a quote by Aaron McIntyre on The Blaze. And he says in an article, "You must stop protecting institutions that are committed to destroying your way of life. The university system hates you. It has. It always has. It will continue to hate you until it is dismantled brick by brick and replaced with something else. Something better." End quote. And I thought this was really good. Bruce, if you will, your take on this quote.
Yeah. Well, I think in the pre-show, you know, we were talking about how so many Christians will think about the government school system or, universities, which are now government funded, right, by the civil government. All of these sorts of things where the civil government has gotten its fingers in the pie and is actively pulling the strings to make these institutions that want to destroy their country, right? Making them institutions that actively hate God and their neighbor, right? That actively brainwash the people put in the systems. And so when people like us and several others, thousands, millions of other people speak out against these institutions, government education systems, and say, no, this is wrong. Not only should they not be doing this biblically, that's not their job, but also what they're doing is destroying us. What they're doing is destroying our children. What they're doing is disarming the church, is taking away from the church. How do you not see this, right? And when we say that, and we pull our children out of those things, several Christians accuse us of retreat. Oh, you're just being cowards. Oh, you're not sending your kids in there to be salt and light for Christ. Oh, these institutions need to be taken for Christ, and just building new ones is not going to solve anything because you're just retreating. You're scared, right?
Yeah,
but it couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah. And they come back with us with what we say to them. You know, they come back with us like, go therefore, right? Isn't that mean we go in blindly and you know, try and do as much as we could? And, you know, are we supposed to just go, right?
And that's losing sight of the therefore.
Mm.
What is the therefore in that passage, Matthew 28? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. Go therefore and disciple the nations.
Yeah.
You cannot disciple the nations if you don't disciple your children. You can't. You cannot disciple your nation if you do not disciple your children. And when you give up your children to be discipled by Satan, you've given up. You're the ones who are retreating. You're the ones who are giving up on the fight. You're the ones who are saying, no, 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 I don't need to disciple my own kids. I'll let the civil government do it for me. And then I'll, you know, I don't know, fluff some stuff at them, throw some cotton balls at them at night during family devotions. It doesn't matter if it's Reformed. It could be a post-mill, theonomic, what have you. Go down the list of all the right theological approaches, Calvinism, etc. It does not matter. What, an hour, maybe, if you're lucky, half hour likely, is going to somehow go up against 8+ hours of indoctrination and brainwashing. No. And even if those kids come out of those systems not being indoctrinated fully, there will always, always be traces. Always be cultural traces. Now, I was talking to somebody this week about the difference between head knowledge and cultural mores. Knowing in your head, this is how it's supposed to be done. Here's the Christian process. The Bible says do it this way. But cultural mores are the cultural things that you don't really think about, right? They are the fruit of a worldview that you're living in the fruit of that worldview, right? So when you're in the government school, you're living in the fruit of the government school's worldview. You're living in secular humanism, postmodernism garbage all day long, right? And you're soaking it up. That's what we do as human beings, right? Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Why? Because that's how we're built. We're built to sit with people in a community. It's not good for man to be alone, right? We absorb things from the people around us, and that's good and right. We need to be very careful about the people we're around, because we will adopt those cultural mores no matter what the head knowledge is, right? Up here, we're like, oh, got all the right head knowledge. Oh, I fill them full of this theology when they get home at night, so that should do it, right? No! Wrongo! What they are absorbing all day long are the cultural mores of secular humanists, of people that actively want to dismantle Christianity in America. That's what they're absorbing. And there is no amount of retraining the head knowledge that's going to fix that. You have to actively place yourself in a Christian community and readopt new cultural mores. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And it's a very, very rocky path, very rocky road. And so why, as a parent, would you not want to save your kids from that? From kindergarten all the way through college. Doesn't matter. It's the same deal. Why would you allow your kids to go through that rocky path when you could avoid it? That would be my answer.
I don't know if I should even go on with this. Sorry. I know we're getting a little over time. But kind of to answer the question that we kind of started out with, if you would, Bruce, give a brief answer to this question so that we aren't going too far over. But we talked about here universities. How does this apply to something on a bigger level like cities? And even more so, a nation. Should we be doing the same? Universities are a smaller system. We could easily say, okay, we'll make our own universities. That's a hard thing in and of itself. But should we leave it and go create our own cities? Should we leave and go create our own nations?
Yeah. Well, what does it say in Daniel 7 or Psalm 2 or Matthew 28 or the list goes on and Psalm 110:1? So many passages talk about all the nations being the treasure of all the nations being brought in and dedicated to God. Daniel 7:14, that all... And I saw one like the Son of Man approaching the throne of God, and to him was given all authority, so that all nations, languages, and peoples should serve him. Right, his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. Right, his kingdom one that shall never pass away. Right, it's eternal. And so we see all the nations, all the languages, all the things that exist being given to Christ. And then you look at the book of Acts. What happens there? All the nations that already exist go to here, go to there, go here, go to shipwreck. But then you end up in this island and they transport you to there. And the gospel's spreading, and it's the gospel of what? It's the gospel of the kingdom, right? And it's the gospel that takes over societies, small, leavening a whole lump, a small mustard seed that grows into a massive tree, right? It's gradual. There's a progression. But ultimately, what does it do? It takes over the largest empire on the face of the planet. The Roman Empire becomes Christianized one day as a result of all the seeds planted by the apostles, right? So, and it took centuries for that work to come to fruition, but it eventually did, right? That's how God works through his people. So yes, building a new nation, sure. Yeah, God blessed us with an opportunity 250 years ago to do that. That was glorious. if that arises, let's do it. That's magnificent. But that doesn't always arise, right? So, but I think in the areas God does give us direct authority over, we should totally be doing what we can. For instance, when we're given the ability to create our own businesses, when we're given the ability to create our own institutions, our own things, take it, do it. Because what do we also see? What's going to happen to the secular world? They're going to be dismantled. They're coming to ruin. I mean, the example we've used so many times on the show is look at Disney. They were untouchable pre-2020. They were rapidly expanding, growing. I mean, their numbers were off the chart, their money, their income. Ah, it's crazy. Now, what are they doing? They're barely surviving. I mean, they're trying to chuck money at all sorts of different ideas, and they're all failing one after the other, one failure after another. Hollywood is losing more money than they're making. They're bleeding money, right? Why? Because they finally crossed the line. God finally said, enough is enough, and you're done. Now, the really unfortunate thing here is that we as Christians are not ready to step in the brink. God is destroying them. He's bringing them low. Ultimately, there won't be a Disney anymore. But we need to be ready to replace them, and we're not. It's really, really unfortunate. That's why we need Christian businesses. That's why we need Christian Hollywoods. We need Christian institutions. We need Christian schools. We need Christian civil governments. We need all of these things ready to go so that when God humbles them, brings them low, destroys the secular humanists, right, in their arrogance, in their folly, we are ready to go. We can step up to the plate and replace it with our own Christian institutions, right? That would be my strategy.
Yeah. And I think that is it.
Yeah, this was great, Jacob. Thank you so much for putting that together. Great discussion topic, lots of current events stuff. This is such a huge, huge thing. Huge topic, and I think you did a great job researching it. And all those links are in the description below, so definitely check those out. We're looking forward to seeing you on our Friday episode, which we recorded. That's going to go out live on Friday, where we talk to Mr. Adam Terrell himself about his book that we read on the show for the last month, Public Stoning, God's Design for a Nation Without Prisons. You don't want to miss this episode. It's going to be really exciting. It was fascinating discussion, and I can tell you firsthand, it was just incredible. You don't want to miss this episode. Until then, we will see you on Friday. And remember, everyone, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.